Pushing the third motorcycle to lean against the side of the APC, Allison suddenly could feel the cold, clammy hand of death squeeze her heart, and the Doomie knew that death was in the immediate vicinity. Her own or somebody else's, she wasn't sure, as the woman had never been able to read her own future and help guide it along. That was why she had joined with Gaza. He was ruthless and powerful, an excellent stud in bed, and she could foresee things for him that would only bring wealth and pleasure to herself. All of the other wives had been chosen with extreme care so that they would never be rivals for his affection, such as it was. Any slut who might replace her was killed on sight. Folding her arms, she closed both eyes and tried to open herself to the whispers of the universe. Almost immediately, the Doomie felt her mind swirl with the bizarre visions of some different place, perhaps a different world. The chaos seemed to last forever, and when the vision finally cleared, Allison stumbled inside the war wag and took a knife to scratch a message into one of the hard plastic seats. The Doomie wasn't sure exactly what it meant or when the deeds would take place, this day or 100 seasons from today. But she felt it would be soon, and was absolutely certain that this message would be her revenge, the only way Allison had of striking back at her killers after buying the farm. Shaking off the disturbing mental images, the woman closed the rear doors of the Lav 25 and climbed into the turret, trying to find her husband in the madness below. Death came to everybody sooner or later, but the Doomie had no intention of greeting the blackness with open arms. Allison planned on fighting for every second of life, every gasp of breath. The companions ran along the salty desert, watching the streamers of smoke come over the top of the sand dunes, when the bandaged figures rose from the sand directly in their path. Ryan froze at the sight, his stire sweeping from one member of the corps to the next. His first impulse had been to chill them on sight, but none of them was carrying those weird spears like before. JB expertly cradled the Uzi machine pistol.
Christy?
The redhead's eyes narrowed in concentration.
Well, they're not sending any mind killers, if that's what you mean. At least I don't think so. Can't really tell for sure.
As if stirred by those words, the mysterious beings now all pointed in unison to the left. Ryan stepped toward them.
What about the city? Something there you want?
Lowering their hands, the Corps gave no reply, then turned away and descended into the loose sand to once more vanish from sight. Scowling deeply, Doc glanced at the sand dune hiding whatever was on their left.
It's a trap. It has to be. Enemies do not become friends without a reason.
Gaza might be that reason. This could be a simple matter of we're the enemy of their enemy.
Maybe want us chill, Gaza. Then ace us could be.
Could be. Or maybe they're sending us somewhere safe from the coming storm.
Mildred knew that the others weren't overly concerned about acid rain. They'd been caught in many downpours before and were still alive. Plus, they each had plastic ponchos made from the shower curtains taken from the last redoubt they looted. The military material was very thick and should protect them somewhat from the ravages of the chemstorm. Puddles were the real danger, finding themselves trapped in ever-deepening pools of the sulfuric acid rain until it rose above their boots and started to irritate their legs. With Ryan in the lead, the companions proceeded another 20 yards west before going around a dune. Jack could have been right about this being a trap. Besides, it never was a good idea to blindly follow the directions of anybody. Staying low, Ryan paused as a trail of what seemed to be blood stretched from the desert toward the cliff. Following it from a distance, the one-eyed man brought up his long blaster with a jerk at the sight of a corpse, its arms and legs blown off from some sort of explosion to the chest. JB prepared a pipe bomb and Jack got a Molotov ready, while Ryan attached his pocket mirror to the end of the stire and took a wreck around the slope of the dune. Now he could see more bodies scattered about, mixed with the remains of smashed motorcycles, along with a few unexploded landmines. Possibly duds, but there was no way of telling from this range. And parked in the middle of the destruction was a tan-colored Lav 25 with three motorcycles leaning against the armored chassis.
Hell of a fight. Outriders from the traitor?
Then why the nuke hasn't Gaza left yet?
Ryan angled the mirror to try to find any other vehicles. But the war wag was alone with the deaders and the broken machines. The only oddity was that the winch had a cable going over the edge of the cliff and down into the city below. Gaza was looting the ruins while the traitor came charging down his throat? That made no bastard sense at all. Ryan finished his thought out loud.
Unless it's busted. Guess the Corps really was helping us.
Christie strained to hear the sound of an engine, but the vehicle was deathly quiet.
No way the Baron would leave the WAG unprotected, even if it was crippled, which means it's either booby-trapped or has a guard.
Probably a guard, dear lady, to operate the cable and haul his worthless hide back up with whatever he deemed was of such protean value.
Three bikes in sight. I would guess Gaza went down with a guard and left the third person here to cover his escape.
Makes sense.
Dean craned his neck to try to see the top of the transport.
Hot pipe, the hatch is closed. There goes using a Molotov.
No, a Molotov is just what we need.
Ryan tried to keep the tension from his voice as lightning flashed overhead, the thunder following only seconds behind. The storm was coming closer. They had to do it right the first time. There might not be a second. Wrapping the strap of the Steyr around his forearm to help steady the long blaster, Ryan leveled the weapon and placed his eye to the scope.
Jack, hit the front of the WAG with a Molotov. Then JB, put a burst across the rear doors. The rest of you play dead.
No prob.
The albino teenager lit the rag tied around the neck of the glass bottle.
Tailwind.
On my mark.
Ryan placed the crosshairs a foot above the top of the turret.
Now.
Whipping his arm forward, the firebomb arced high and crashed directly on the nose of the APC. Instantly, JB stitched a short burst along the rear doors of the WAG, the 9mm rounds ricocheting harmlessly off the military armor. A split second later, the top hatch flew open, and a hand came out to grab the 50 cal and blindly fire the weapon in every direction. On cue, Christie, Mildred, and Dean screamed in pain from behind the dune, as if mortally wounded. At the sounds, a blonde woman rose into sight from the hatch and grabbed the firing grip of the big-bore 25mm cannon, just as Ryan stroked the trigger of the Steyr. The rifle bucked once, and a single 7.62mm round smacked directly into her left temple. Even as she fell limp across the blaster, her convulsing hands triggered the cannon, and a spray of 25mm shells hit the ground in front of the companions. While the salt and sand were still in the air, the companions raced across the open ground low and fast and hit the rear doors of the APC, pressing their bodies flat to the steel and ramming the barrels of their blasters through the louvered slats of the air vents.
Surrender or we shoot! This is your only chance!
But aside from the crackling flames of the Molotov, only silence answered the challenge. Which was a damn good thing, too, since the man had no intention of shooting into the APC. It could easily be packed full with fuel or ammo, and a single round might have obliterated the WAG, along with the companions and the entire section of cliff they were standing on. After a few more moments, Ryan motioned to Dean, and the boy removed a self-heat from his backpack and gently lobbed it up and into the open top hatch of the vehicle.
Gren!
The foe Gren bounced off the corpse and dropped down inside. But there was still no reaction from anyone inside. JB got busy tricking the door locks from the outside. As the bolt was disengaged, the door swung open, and the companions got clear in case of outgoing rounds. But the interior of the APC was empty, aside from the deader dangling from the turret. Doc and Dean stayed at the doors as rear guards, while the others climbed inside and did a quick wreck for a booby trap. But the WAG was clean. Jack opened a handmade backpack and pulled out loose white gowns.
Bunch folks were here, mostly women. Not gaudy slut either.
Christie squinted at the clean clothing and the abundance of weapons lying openly in the boxes on the metal floor.
Gaza had 5 wives, right?
4 now, or less.
Ryan pulled the corpse down from the hatch. Her clothing matched that from the packs, and the hand cannon tucked into the holster of her gun belt was clean, oiled, and carrying 6 rounds.
She's one of the Baron's wives, all right.
Finding an Ingram machine pistol hanging on the wall, Dean yanked out the clip to make sure it was carrying the same 9mm ammo he used in the Browning High Power, then tucked the clip into a pocket to be emptied later. JB knelt to try to see into the darkness.
Found the engine. Millie, hit the lights, would you?
Going to the control panel in the front, Mildred dodged the waves of heat coming off the dwindling fire on the armored prow outside and flipped a few switches to activate the emergency lights. Now the war wag was brightly illuminated, and the companions were astonished by the display of armament lying about. Belted ammo for the 50 and the 25mm, four Law launchers, one in questionable condition, and even a handcom, which was strange, since the radio transponder in the dashboard was no longer present, along with the radar and most of the other pre-dark equipment.
Lightening the load to save fuel. Idiot!
Ryan joined his friend at the hole in the floor.
What's wrong with the WAG, JB?
Tilting back his fedora, the armorer looked up from the exposed engine.
Primary ignition wire harness is gone. Somebody ripped it out hard. Repairs were tried and failed.
Sounds internecine to me.
Checking over an AK-47 assault rifle, Mildred gave the silver-haired scholar a stern look, but said nothing in reply. The crazy old coot was right. This did seem like some sort of a rebellion in the ranks.
I think Gaza is in the city. He's probably down there trying to get parts to fix this wag.
A bold move. What else this Baron may be, he is no coward.
Nah, that's just self-preservation. Got nothing to do with bravery.